They were off, but after a dramatic U-turn, they're now on again. Faced with a High Court challenge, the government's abandoned plans to let 30 councils in England delay local elections. They'd been told they could wait until they'd finished reorganising district and county councils into unitary authorities. But Reform launched legal action, saying the government was denying more than 4 million people a vote. With a High Court hearing looming this week, the government has backed down, ordered the elections to go ahead, and will pay Reform's legal bill.
In some cases, Norfolk, Suffolk, East and West Sussex, this would have been the second year in a row that people who are paying their council tax would have been denied the chance to vote. So that's why we took them to the High Court. We were due there this Thursday. They've caved, they've collapsed. It's a victory for Reform, but more importantly, it's a victory for democracy in this country. We are delighted.
District councils say the government had assured them Reform's legal challenge would fail.
Just dismay. Yeah, you trust that we're always told that things can change at the last minute, but on something of this magnitude, and the fact that the government was so confident previously that their legal argument was sound, then there's just dismay. People are obviously at the moment, they'll be a bit raw and a bit fed up about this because they've got to go from an assured position to now gearing up for an election. So it's not just the local authority itself and its resources and its arrangements. Then there's going to be people now that are going to have to get on the campaign trail, and they'll be behind from where they were. And so local authorities have acted in good faith on this, and it's the government that's let us down.
Local Government Secretary Steve Reid told councils he was reinstating elections in the light of legal advice and said they'll get an extra £63 million. Nigel Farage said Mr. Reid should resign. Keir Starmer wanted today to be about positive steps, not U-turns. Ahead of a consultation on a social media ban for under-16s, the Prime Minister announced new powers to stop AI chatbots sharing illegal content and potential restrictions on software which drives addictive doom scrolling.
The status quo, things as they are now, is not good enough. Nobody can make the argument that things can be left as they are. They can't, they're not protective of children, and we intend to act. But what we're doing now is taking the powers available to make sure at the end of that consultation we can move really fast.
It's a policy popular, importantly, with Labour MPs, but now potentially overshadowed by today's election U-turn, the 15th for Keir Starmer's government. One Labour backbencher, Sadiq Al-Hassan, MP for North Somerset, said the shocking U-turn was either due to incompetence or conspiracy, and those responsible within government should pay the price. Democracy is not something we should put on hold lightly. The Liberal Democrats said postponing elections had been a stitch-up. The Conservatives said the U-turn was predictable chaos from a useless government. They've written to Steve Reid asking him to publish the evidence on which the original decision was made.
Well, joining me now is the veteran backbench Labour MP, Barry Gardner. Doesn't this look incompetent?
Yes, it does. Yeah, absolutely. Look, they said that they would... They would now allow them to proceed because they'd listened to the legal advice. I just wish they'd listened to some of their colleagues a few months ago. This is a government that is making the wrong call consistently. It's showing poor judgment. And all of us understand the reasons why they decided to cancel the local elections. It is the biggest shake-up in local authority governance for 50 years. And it's a lot to do in a very short time scale. And to put elections on top of that is just one more complication. So we understand that. But actually, this should have been timetabled properly. The resources should have been made available, because the worst thing of all is for a politician to look as if they're running scared from the electorate. And that's what it looked like.
And for the Prime Minister, whose main distinction was being a lawyer, to be given a legal lesson by Nigel Farage. I mean, it's humiliating.
Well, look, Christian, I can't disagree with you. But it's just poor political judgment. It was always poor political judgment. Whatever the legal arguments were, whatever the, you know, the economic case, and we understand that, you know, to say, well, you're going to hold an election for people who are coming into the job at a time of huge change, you know, fresh in at huge change time, and then in a year they're going to be out because there'll be new elections for the unitary authority, and they'll have to stand all over again. So one understands the common sense reasons why somebody said, well, wouldn't it make sense to postpone these? But politically, it never could have made sense. You know, politicians must not fear the electorate. Otherwise, what they're afraid of is democracy.
Yes, I mean, where were you left now? I mean, the Prime Minister was supposed to come back with a, you know, fighting, he said, this morning. He comes out fighting for people. You know, he doesn't have a chief of staff, he doesn't have a director of comms, he doesn't have a cabinet secretary, and he doesn't have anything to come out fighting with. You know, who is helping him write the script?
Well, look, the thing about government is this. You have to come in with a vision. You have to set out that vision clearly and then go about implementing it. And the tragedy that we've seen unfold over the past months is that each of the things that the government has latched onto, it's then had to rein back and do a U-turn on. And that just looks as if there was no clear, settled programme of what the government wanted to do right from the very get-go. And that is really destabilising colleagues in the Parliamentary Labour Party because, you know, we're asked to go out and front up policies, and we do, week in, week out, we're on the doorstep. People are asking us, OK, well, what about this, what about that? And then we front up those policies. And sometimes we do it because it's the party policy and we may feel uncomfortable about it ourselves, but that's what, you know, collective responsibility is. And then 2 weeks later, they change their mind and we're left looking like chumps.
Yes,
so
I mean,
it's really frustrating as a backbencher.
I mean, last week, the party sort of stepped back from the precipice, as I think it was described. Was that a mistake?
Look, I never discuss what goes on in private meetings, so I won't talk about the Parliamentary Labour Party meeting as you're encouraging me to do.
Well, no, I'm just wondering whether you've got it wrong, whether you think Labour MPs in not getting rid of Keir Starmer have made a mistake and that they should. You were asked last week, should he go, and you stared at the presenter, I think. Can you just give us an answer tonight?
Yeah, I did give the presenter an answer, and that was that I thought that Keir Starmer should consider what is in the best interests of the country and what is in the best interests of the party. He came to a particular conclusion that it was in the best interest for him to stay leading the party at this stage, and the Parliamentary Labour Party appear to have come to the same conclusion.
And do you think that's right?
Well, I think time will tell, but it hasn't been an auspicious start to the reboot, has it?
Barry Gardiner, thank you very much. Now, earlier in the day, before the change to local elections was announced, Keir Starmer promised to fast-track laws on social media use by children and young people, promising action in months, not years. The Prime Minister said an outright ban for under-16s was a possibility, but the government would need to look at the evidence. I spoke to Chris Sherwood earlier, who's chief executive of the NSPCC, and asked him why he is against an age-related ban.
We don't think a ban goes far enough. A ban won't deal with many of the issues that children and young people talk to us about through Childline and on a daily basis. It won't deal with addictive algorithms. It won't deal with gaming platforms, for instance. So, you know, a ban is better than what we currently have, but it doesn't go far enough.
Right, but I mean, doesn't that have to be human responsibility as well? I mean, you know, we are not all victims of social media companies. We choose to use them.
Today, there are 2.5 million children on social media platforms under the age of 13. And tech companies have set 13 as an age that children shouldn't be under. We can sit here and talk about whether responsibility sits with parents or with children, but we would argue the responsibility sits with the tech companies. And they could act, they could remove those 2.5 million children from their platforms today. They choose not to do so, which is why government is going to have to take action to legislate, to force those tech companies to change. We can't trust them. And we also want them to legislate, to deal with issues at source. So let me give you an example, you know, of what we're talking about. One 14-year-old boy contacted us to say that he had shared his photograph through a WhatsApp platform, and it was sent back to him as an AI-created porn video. That's the kind of things that we need to see outlawed.
Doesn't the Online Safety Act tell us that that kind of legislation doesn't work? Because all of that content is still there.
I think we're in our early days. The Children's Code for the Online Safety Act only came into force last summer, and we are seeing some change. But the Online Safety Act doesn't go far enough. So let me give you another example of what the Prime Minister talked about today, which is AI chatbots, AI companions. We're hearing some very alarming stories about those through Childline already. They're outside the bounds of the Online Safety Act.
But how can you ban children from using AI?
We can regulate AI chatbots. You know, do we trust tech companies to do the right thing? AI chatbots could be incredibly useful for children in terms of their education. Children want to be able to access social media. They want to be able to enjoy that, but they don't want to see that harmful content, and they don't want to be sucked into a vortex of doom scrolling with addictive algorithms.
Won't the consequence be that adults will all have to give away more of their data to the tech platforms because they will have to do age verification? That means putting in a driving license or a passport or a credit card and giving them data that we currently don't and don't want to.
I mean, tech companies are always going to come up with all the different reasons why we shouldn't change. And they're very good. They have very well-paid lobbyists.
No, but that's a reason why people may not want this, because what you're saying is every adult who uses social media in the future or AI would have to go through some sort of age verification.
But we already have this under the Online Safety Act now, because if platforms make a choice not to remove harmful content such as pornography from their platforms, they already have to bring in age verification. What we're talking about here, though, is how we protect children and young people.
So when it comes to using AI, how would you put a wall between educational content and other content that might be harmful?
I mean, AI is such an emerging field. I think it requires a different legislative approach. What we've called for is a duty of care on AI companies to be thinking about how they design in safety at the start of many of their different products. We waited 20 years to introduce an effective regulatory model for social media. And for 20 years, Childline counsellors have been hearing about the harm that has been experienced by social media. Our real worry is that the harms that could be unleashed by AI could make social media look like a walk in the park, because child protection online cannot sit on the shoulders of parents and children. They are exasperated. They're frustrated. They want action from government. And that's why I think people are landing on a ban, because it just do something.
And do you think there needs to be a proper investigation into whether addiction is designed into these platforms? You know, because at the moment it's all denied. You know, they say, oh, this is just rhetoric. But has anyone actually done the work?
There has been lots of research done into this as well. This is one of the biggest child protection issues of our day, and history will be watching to see whether we take the necessary action and whether we stand up to those tech companies so we get a good deal for children and young people and a good deal for families.
Chris Sherwood, thank you very much.